the dog.
Okay, so we're taking up an Indian of the Dalit Kosos. But before we do the sugya, maybe we'll just take a minute of a little Dvar Hashkafa on the Dalit Kosos themselves. So it's a well-known medrash. Rashi quotes it in the beginning of Arba Pesachim, that the Dalit Kosos are keneged Arba Lashon Egula, right? Amurim Begalos Mitzrayim, which are Votseisi Eschem, Vitzalti Eschem, Vigalti Eschem, Vilokati Eschem. So they're all in the beginning of Parshas Ve'era, within two psukim. Okay, so the pasuk says, in the beginning of Ve'era, it says, V'gamani Shemati Esnakas Me'Yisrael, Hashem Mitzrayim Avidim Asam, V'Ezkor Esprisi, Lochein Emor Levnei Yisrael Ani Hashem, V'hotseisi eschem itacha sivlos mitzrayim, v'itzalti eschem me'avod asom, v'gaalti eschem bezro netuyo, u'v'shvotim gedolim, that's one pasuk, v'lokachti eschem li la'om, v'yisi lochem l'elokim, v'idatem ki ani Hashem lokechem, amotzi eschem itacha sivlos mitzrayim. Okay, so the question is, so what are the four lashonos? I mean, we have four kosos, can I get the four lashonos? So it doesn't mean it's just four ways of saying one thing. That would just be one kos. So it must be that there are four elements expressed in these psukim. Four elements of taking a slave nation and transforming them into an independent am. Okay, so let's just see what these four elements are. All right, so let's take them one by one. So what's the first one? First one is V'hotseisi eschem mitachas sivlos mitzrayim. So what does that mean? So Rashi says, Torach masa mitzrayim. From the busyness of the burden of mitzrayim. Meaning what? So meaning the avoda. Right? It would seem the actual work. So that's the first... That's obviously the first step is a person that's a slave. What's the most debilitating thing of being a slave is that you have no free time, right? You just have no choice of freedom of action, freedom of movement, right? Your life is, your day is dictated from morning till night what you must be involved in. So obviously, the first step of geula, or the first element of the geula, is v'hotseisi eschem mitachas sivlos mitzrayim, just freedom from the burden of the work. Okay, good. Okay, so then it says like this: v'hitzalti eschem me'avodasom. That's hard. That's a little harder already, right? Because that sounds like work again. And I saved you from their work. May avoda sam, from serving them, right? So how is that different than mitachas sivlos mitzrayim? So the Ramban says an interesting thing. He says like this. He says. He says, "V'hitzalti eschem me'avoda sam," right? So the first one he says like Rashi, "Koved masam v'hitzalti eschem me'avoda sam shelo yimshelu bohem klal." They won't rule over you at all. They won't rule over you at all. The Mitzrim will not rule over the Jews at all. Lihios lohem bimekomam lamas oved, that they should be in their place like a nation that has to pay taxes. You know what I mean? In other words, it means like this: you can have a group of people that are slaves, and then they can have freedom, and they can have individual freedom. But they're not a free people. They still are subjugated to the political power of the other country. You can have a group that was enslaved, and now they're personally not enslaved anymore, but they're not that exactly like a colony, right? They're still under the rulership of another country. That means avodah sam. Avodah sam is an avdus of on a political level, right? They're not an independent nation. It's one thing to say I'm not making bricks all day for the mitzvah, right? But it's another thing to say that we have political autonomy. So that's really the hotzeisi ischem is the personal freedom. They now have the personal ability to do what they want. Vahitzalti ischem avodasom means I've taken you completely out of their rule, not subjugated to them as a nation. So what now? Vigo'alti aschem bezro in the tuyo v'shvatim gedolim. So what does that mean? What's left? What's vigo'alti aschem bezro in the tuyo v'shvatim gedolim? So what's the lashon of geula? Geula. So Ramban also says geula. He says means like a pigeon. It's like a pigeon nafshenu. That the mitzvim said the hine lecha yishara bepigeon nafshenu. Geula king in mecha. Geula means like a sale. Like we want. Well, what do we say? How do we normally? What's a good translation for geula?
Redemption.
Redemption, but redemption is one of those words that carries its own meaning. What's that?
It's a loaded word.
It has a more connotation than denotation, right? I don't think people even associate the real meaning of the word. The meaning of, they don't associate redemption with redeeming something. Redeem is like a trade, right? Right, you don't go. Right, you know, say I just got redemption. I got my my shoes back from the bowling alley. But what does it mean, redemption, really? So, in terms of the Jews, in terms of creating a nation, it means like this. It means that you could have a group of you can have a people, right, who were slaves and granted individual freedom and even granted national freedom, granted a political freedom, right? But they leave in a derech bizayon, or they always have a certain association of being a freed slave nation. You understand? What are they lacking? They're lacking a certain dignity.
They feel like they're still slaves, but they're just free.
That's right. They're still slaves, but they're free. In other words, they're still viewed on a lower level. They're still viewed as having been given freedom. And really like the slave who just was given freedom. Okay? But that's very debilitating. That's very debilitating to a people. I mean, and there are many examples of that in modern history. You know, you have to go back too far to see that just being given freedom doesn't really make you into a gavra necessarily. Doesn't really undo the trauma of being a slave for hundreds of years. That's really it's a trauma to the collective psyche. It's a very dehumanizing feeling, and then you just get involved in anger and looking for some reparations or something. But you're never on an equal footing anymore. You can't be on an equal footing. You're still branded with that baggage of the slave who was freed. So coming out of Mitzrayim, they weren't like a runaway slave nation. They weren't just thrown out. They were. Like the Ramban says, it was really the Mitzrim freed them as a pigeon of their own nefesh. Meaning to say that they felt it was necessary for themselves to do it. They looked at them as part of their own salvation. They put them on a footing, on an equal, on a higher footing than themselves. And that was also part of the idea of borrowing, that they had to borrow things from the Mitzrayim when they left. They had to leave on an equal footing in terms of humanity. That, like the Rav mentions, you know, who borrows from each other? Only people who are in the same social class. Right? A maid doesn't borrow from her employer. Right? The maid doesn't go to the lady of the house and say, "Can I borrow your purse? Can I borrow your jewelry?" Right? But when they left Mitzrayim, they had to leave with a dignity of being an equal. Socially, I'm saying, you know, superior in another sense, but they had to leave with that feeling. So that's why they had to borrow. That was part of the idea of borrowing. And the derech of, that's why it says, the go'alti eschem bezro and the tuya, it's two things. They left with a show of might, from Akash Baruch Hu, u'bishvatim gedolim, and their idols, their gods were destroyed. Meaning to say that the very basis of what the Mitzrayim felt their whole society was, their religious basis, that's what people feel superior to another based on their, you know, that's one of the elements is a religious superiority. So they had to leave. In the geula was a certain din on their gods. And that whole derech of leaving was a real redemption. In other words, they went from being a people that were slaves to they were transformed into a nation of the chosen people of Karish Baruch Hu, who demonstrated his might and his and also simultaneously demonstrated the fact that their gods were just imagination. So that's really the third element, to be on top of being personal freedom and political freedom, you have to have a certain dignity. And then lokachti eschem. Lokachti is also necessary. And I don't mean to say just lokachti is necessary because of Torah. Obviously, if it wasn't for that, there wouldn't have been any Yetzias Mitzrayim. But I'm saying just on a political sense, in a social political sense, there must be a purpose. You can have a people that are free personally, politically, and have a dignity. But if they don't share something in common, they don't share a common goal, they're not going to be a cohesive am. You understand? Of course, the lokachti is important for its own sake, but I'm just saying in terms of the idea of transformation from a slave population to an independent nation, it's not enough just to... it's not enough without a purpose of... of lokachti eschem li'am. They have to have a shared goal and a shared ideal of what the proper life is. So without that, they wouldn't be an am. Of course, if it wasn't for this, there would be no purpose to bring them out. But I'm not minimizing the idea of a yisro lochem le'elokim. But I'm saying, on top of that, it's necessary just even in the idea of being free, in the idea of being an am. That's what the problem is like in America, you know, in countries like with immigration and population thing. You know, there's a certain lack of cohesiveness, a certain lack of feeling that we're all in one thing. That's an essential element of properly functioning society. You have to really feel like you're together. We have a common history and a common future, right? You have to have a common history and a common future. Otherwise, you don't feel really identification with everybody. You know, it's just a bunch of groups in one spot trying to do their own thing, which doesn't. And the Torah is very, very important to have. A lot of mitzvahs are designed to create a certain social, camaraderie. I was saying that I once saw a study. They studied which countries are the happiest, are the people the happiest in.
They just came out with another finding yesterday.
Another finding yesterday? It's probably not Iceland anymore.
No.
No. But at the time it was Iceland. At the time it was Iceland, yeah. But now it's Denmark. Yeah, it's always going to be one of those places. But the thing is, they will never admit the true reason in these articles. They look for all these little things, but they ignore what I think is the obvious true reason. And there's one thing that's in common with these countries, and that is that most of the population are the same. They all have the same heritage. There's very little, like in Iceland, they say like 99% of the people are related to each other in some way. Yeah, like some crazy thing. Mm-hmm. Distant, you know, obviously, like a distant thing. But there is a very, very strong feeling of, family, of cohesiveness. You know, when you feel a strong identification, that's what the Ram says, you know, in the Moras, is why is... what's one of the problems with prostitution? He says that you're not going to know who you're related to. And family and who you're related to is a very, very strong basis of a society. It's a very cohesive unit. I mean, look at like a tribalism. It's a very, very strong, strong force. Extremely strong force. If you have a whole country that everybody feels that they are actually, in some true sense, one... You know, you treat each other very, very differently. You treat each other very, very differently. When you litter or you vandalize, it's because you don't feel it has anything to do with you. It's not your stuff in any way. You know, so that I think is really what people, that is really the base. They look for these other stupid things like, they're environmentally friendly and, but all of those things really stem from the feeling that we're all in this together. It really comes from a common purpose. You can have common purpose in family, or common purpose in Torah is a certain Derech HaChaim. So those are the four ideas of the Geula.
Can you see that from the copy?
A lakachti is to something. See, that's not... The other ones are breaking away. And lakachti is going towards something.
A goal.
You need a goal. You need a common purpose. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's to mean if a Jew goes to Eretz Yisrael, you feel different there. You feel different. You just feel different walking around. It's like someone told me when they went to Eretz Yisrael, they couldn't believe. Even the bums in the street are Jews. Even the kids that look like, the hoodlums, they're, you feel like, okay, yeah, but the Jews, you know, you don't feel like it. Sorry about Lonum. Yeah.
Well, sorry.
Yeah, just to add one point, I mean, I think it's important, to go from a slave to a free. You have to realize the slave's whole mindset is his master. The slave's whole mindset is his master. It's very, very hard for us to put ourselves back into that... you always say, if I was there, this, that. But you can't, you really have to view it from how a slave is looking at things. Slave's mindset is his master's mindset. And I think that they had to see that the Mitzrim themselves recognized that the Jews were leaving by right. They had to see that the Mitzrim themselves viewed them in a superior way. So it was necessary for the Mitzrim's justice done to the Mitzrim's religious institutions, so that the Jews would see that the Mitzrim themselves understood that they are superior, that the Jews are superior to them. I mean, you see the fear that they just from seeing them again, the fear that overcame them. Just the thought of them coming after them. Okay. That's what I heard once the Rav said, that's why an Eved can't be an aide. Because he doesn't have his own outlook on things. All right. So let's take up the question over here of Haseva by the Dalakosos. So it's on Kufches. So the Gemara says like this. Itma. Matzah tzorah Haseva. Moror ain't tzorah Haseva. Yayin itma mishmid Rav Nachman tzorah Haseva. Vitma mishmid Rav Nachman ain't tzorah Haseva. Velo pligi. Habitarti kasi kamoi. Habitarti kasi basroi. So we know that matzah needs it, right? Rashbam says the matzah of mitzvah, right? Not every time you eat matzah, but the matzah that you yotzi the mitzvah with. Kibnei choron she zeich legula. So that matzah of mitzvah is zeich legula. Moror is zeich la'avdus. Does not need a seba, but. What about the kosos? So we know that Rav Nachman held two kosos do need. We know that Rav Nachman said kosos do and kosos don't. And there's a mach and what? And they're not and he's not contradicting himself. One statement was about the first two, and one statement was about the second two, but we don't know which one was about which. Right. So what do we know? We know that matzah, yes, maror, no, and two kosos, yes, two kosos, and we know that some kosos, yes, and some kosos, no, right? And we also know that the kosos are broken up into the first two and to the last two, right? It's not like one and four and two and three or anything like that. It's the first two and the last two. And there's a question, is it the first two that need haseba or the last two that need haseba? Okay, but not all of them. But not all of them. Yeah. So what's the question? So let's see. So they're going to go through arguments for each side. Omri lo lahai gisa, v'omri lo lahai gisa. Okay. Omri lo lahai gisa, tre kasi kamoi, bo hasebo, dehashtahu dikom mischala lo cheres. All right, the reincarnation, Rashi changes that gears a little bit. It's a funny gears. He changes it to say like this: Da hashta, da hi shaita mishtoi b'cheres. Mishtoi means discussing, talking about. Ubegula shehu ubegula. At that moment, we're discussing. He has to add in geula because he's not really discussing cheres so much. He's discussing cheres and geula. Shehu omer hagada. How are the first two kosos about Cheres and Gula? Because those are the kosos of Haggadah. Hashta shma inan mino de arba kosos tzor chatzeba. All right, that's how the Gemara concludes. Mora ain tzor chatzeba. Okay, anyway. So what is it saying? That the first two kosos should require haseba because that's when you're discussing Cheres and Gula. But the last two is what? Maida hava hava. That's over already. What happened, happened. So only when you're discussing, so in other words, so the first two require, because you're discussing Geula, and the last two, well, the story's over. You're done talking about it already. Just because you started talking about it before, everything relates to what you discussed before. Now you're on to a different phase. Some say the other way. Adarabba, on the contrary. Trekasi basroi bo hasebo. The last two require a seba. Why? Hahishaita de ko havi cheres. Now is the time when you're free. Trei kasi kamoi lobo haseba. Takati avadim ayinu kamar. We're still saying avadim ayinu. Now Tosus makes a very important point over here, right? He says, "What does it mean? My da hava hava shekvar omru gul lefnei asuda." Right, so you already discussed geula during the suda, before the suda. So the last two kosos is birkas hamazon and halal. V'yafa gav de matzah tzricha haseba. Aye, but if you're going to tell me now is not the time for leaning, because we already finished talking about geula. So what about the matzah? It's also, we're not talking about gula anymore. So why do you lean during the matzah? Shani matzah, she ikar su'uda, yoser miyayin. One answer is, that's the main su'uda, more than yayin. But what kind of an answer is that? What does that do with anything? It's still my dav hava. The ode, biyayin hesev kivar, b'shnei kosa rishonim. It's also a funny answer, right? And by the yayin, you already did it. The ode, Sheksuva b'Torah zeichel l'cheres, specifically says it's zeichel l'cheres. Shlo hispik b'tzeikam l'achmes, ad she nigalu. V'yav agrav davi lechem oni, even though it's also lechem oni, yesh lo chel derech cheres. Okay. So that's the question, you know, how do we define the machlokas, and how is Tosos helping us out here? Dalakosos. And why can't we just say all four kosos, like Rashi says in the beginning? All four kosos are keneged dal lashonos of gula. So why shouldn't all four kosos lean? Right? Yeah. In other words, Tosos's point is to try to clarify the question, the idea of Maida Hava Hava, because he's saying you can't learn Maida Hava Hava to mean simply that the only time you can do a Maisa of Haseba, the only time Haseba makes sense is in the discussion of Geula itself.
Why would you think that?
Because the Gemara says Maida Hava Hava. The Gemara says there's no reason to lean in the last two Kosos because you're not talking about Geula anymore. So he's saying, Tosos is trying to explain that can't mean that discussing Geula is necessary for Haseba, because Matzah, you're not discussing Geula, and you definitely do Haseba, right? So he's trying to differentiate why the argument only applies to the Dalet Kosos and does not apply to the Matzah.
Kind of treating what, you know.
Wait, and can we just ask a preliminary question? Why is it so? Why does it have to be that the two kosos, that it can't be all four? Why is it not all four? What is the two and the two? That's like a premise over here. That there's a two and a two. Maybe we don't have to answer that question first, but right. Okay. Let's just think a little bit more about the Tosos' answers, okay? What is an implication of what he says? Let's pick one. Let's pick the first two, okay? What are his answers? His answers are, his question is, how come by the Kosos you get to say the last two don't need a Seba, because Maida Hava Hava, but by Matzah we don't say Maida Hava Hava, right? So he gives two answers. The first two are similar in approach, I think. First one is saying that what? That the matzah is the ikar suda, yoser miyayin. So what does that mean? What does that mean? And the second answer is you already did it by the first two kosos, right?
It's not like the first two are inherently important. It's just that you got to do it. It's like it's not saying it's intrinsic. It's like you did it already. You have to do it. So you did it already. And now you're done.
What's the implication? No, the implication is that every element needs Haseba. Right? No, every element of Cheras needs Haseba. It needs to be expressed so that's what his answer, I think. Let's think about this a little more. Now, is he saying, by the matzah, that's the ikar suda. So suda has to have an expression of haseba. So you have no choice anymore. You can't say ma'ida havah. That's not going to mean anything, because then you're going to be missing haseba in an essential component of suda. By the yayin, it's not. It was the first answer is explaining why you need to do it by the matzah and you don't need to do it by the yayin. You need to do it by the matzah, because if you didn't, then ikar suda would be lacking haseba. And apparently, every key element of the night of Cheres, of every key element that of Cheres in the Seder, has to be accompanied by a Haseba. So if you would say Maida Hava Hava by Matzah, then it would come out that your Iker Suda lacked Haseba. That can't be. But that doesn't happen when you don't do Haseba in the second two Kosos. Okay? So the first answer is really in terms of, will the Suuda be lacking Haseba? So that will if you don't have Matzah, but it won't if you don't have Kosos. Okay? And the second answer is saying what? Will the Kosos be lacking Haseba? You understand? As long as I did it in two of the Kosos, you can't say that the element of Kosos doesn't have Haseba. You understand? He has that one premise. His first two answers, I think, are working with a certain premise. That every element must have Haseba. And every element of Cheres needs Haseba. The Matzah is the main element of Suda. So that has to have Haseba in order for Suda to have Haseba. But you don't need to have Haseba by the Yayin for Suda to have Haseba. And the second answer is saying, in order for the Kosos as an element, Kosos apparently, you only need some of them to have Haseba to say that the Kosos have Haseba. I already did Haseba on the Kosos, so I don't need to qualify Kosos anymore with Haseba. You know what I'm trying to go with this?
Why can't you just do the first
one? What's that?
Why can't you just do the first one? Like you're giving.
That was the other question I said. Why does it have to be in units of two? But apparently the second answer is saying that Kosos as a halachic phenomenon will have a fulfillment of Haseba through two of them, through the first two. So when I get to the second two, why would I have to do Haseba? Because Kosos need Haseba? I already had a Haseba on the first two. Just in terms of the form, that's the way it seems. It's not just that you're chayev to do a Maisa Haseba. The mitzvahs have to be done by Haseba. The mitzvahs halayla of Cheres have to be done by Haseba. So Seuda is one of the mitzvahs, apparently, saying Seuda is one of the mitzvahs halayla. That would need Haseba. He's not defining this. The first two answers are only in terms of he's not treating the matzah as a, it's funny. It's only the third answer he gets into matzah as really a chefta shel mitzvah on its own. First answer he's just saying matzah in terms of ikar suda. But question of now it seems like Tosus is learning the question of which of the Dalet Kosos would qualify the Kosos b'Haseba. In other words, every element, the elements of the Suda, of the Seder have to have the elements of the Seder that are Kineged, Geula, need Haseba. And the Chiddush of Rav Nachman, though, is just saying that it's not necessary to do it during all four of the Kosos to give the Kosos the Shem Haseba. Okay? But Maida Hava Hava doesn't mean it's not a discussion of an absolute sense. It's not an absolute rule saying that there's no Maisa Haseba when you're not discussing Geula. It just means to say that that if the Kosos with discussion of Geula took place didn't have Haseba, then you would say that the Kosos themselves, Be'ikar, are lacking in Haseba. But if you lean during the first two Kosos, that's not going to help you qualify the Suda of with Haseba. So that's why it says it doesn't mean that there's no Haseba after the discussion of Haggadah. It means to say that the Kosos are already qualified, but the Suda's not, so of course Matzah is going to need Haseba. For the Suda. So I'm saying if you take that approach, it seems like he's asking a different question. Like the question is, how do we divide up the Kosos to say the Iker Kosos that the Haseba will qualify the whole set? Where will the Haseba, which Kosos will qualify the whole set with the Haseba? In other words, what I'm trying to say is like this. The Tosfos is learning that things of Cheres, Maisei Cheres, Achilas and Shasiyah of Cheres requires Haseba. It has to be done b'derech Seba. But there are Cheres. So Suda is an Indian of Cheres, has an Indian of Cheres, and Kosos have an Indian of Cheres. But the Cheres only has to be done in the Iker element of each. The Matzah, he's saying, is the Iker element of the Suda, and they're arguing which is the Iker of the two Kosos. Okay? So what does it mean, the Iker? It's a little harder to say Iker by the four kosos, because the Suda, you could say, well, you don't have to eat much more after you have the motzi, you can stop, really. Everything else is just malaf and boas apas. But the kosos is harder to say, because it's four. I mean, how could you say an Iker? If I tell you you have to have four, how could you say an Iker? Right? If you don't have four, you don't have four. If I ate the matzah, so I say, okay, I had a very small meal. I didn't have the chicken soup. I had a very small meal. But if you didn't have the four kosos, you can't say, well, you had the ikar, so you're yotze, you're not yotze at all. So let me just give you a possibility. And that is like this, that the kosos really function in two ways. Okay? The kosos function in two ways. What are the two functions of the kosos? One is sidur dvarim alakos, right? Sidur dvarim alakos. So you say kiddush alakos. You don't need kiddush. You don't need the kos for kiddush per se, but it's a chashivas alakos. At the sheva brachas, you have a kos. What is a kos doing up there? It's a certain inyan of chashivas. Okay. So there's. There's the kosos in terms of qualifying the subject matter, right? But then there's also an inyan of kos that has to do with a certain idea of demonstrating cheres, a certain demonstration of cheres. It's a b'nei chorin to drink yayin. Shias yayin is a ma'aser of b'nei chorin. Right? That's like the Gemara says of Shoson Chai, you'll be Yotze Yayin, but not the Cheres. There's different gears over there. But it means to say that the Yayin that's not Mozug is not really the Bishle Musa. It doesn't express Cheres Bishle Musa. So maybe that's the question over here. What's the Iker quality of the Kosos? Is it to lend a certain quality to the subject matter that's being discussed? Or is it their laharosis atzmo, the demonstration of their drinking? They have a certain demonstrative element to themselves, and they have a certain lending of chashivas to the topic that you're involved in. If you hold the ikr is Sidur Dvarim Alakos, then the subject matter of Cheres is in the Haggadah. And then their essential element of lending Chashivas is going to have the quality of Cheres in the discussion of Haggadah. In other words, they get their entity, they get their Iker. Their Iker idea of Cheres is in their association to what is being discussed over them. A little bit of an inept way of expressing it. But you know what I'm trying to say? If in terms of them as a vehicle of Sidur Dvarim Alakos, in terms of them as like a toast, you know, giving a certain chashivas to the discussion, then they get their element of cheres through the discussion. So then the kosos shel cheres, which require haseba, are the first two.
What?
Because that's where their ikar element of cheres is expressed, since the kosos are being used to highlight what you're discussing. Then when the discussion is cheres, that's when they have their, by association, their quality of cheres.
What about the first one? Is that just, can you just say
yeah. All right, good question. But but if, why is the Yom Kadosh? But, because of the cheres. But if it's them as a demonstration of Cheres, the demonstration of Cheres is not fulfilled until you're eating a meal b'derech Cheres. So then, them as Maisei Cheres is only the last two. So that's the question. Everybody agrees the elements of the Laila that are Niskan or that have to do with Cheres need Haseba b'ikaron. And the question is, which Iker expresses Cheres? Which is the Iker of the two Kosos, Lagabi Cheres? And I'm saying maybe it has to do with the question of which element of the Kosos you consider to be the main element. The lending chashivas to the subject matter, or them simply as a maisa of cheres. So, for instance, I think Rashi holds even if you just drank all four in a row, you'd be yotzei dal kosos. It's a question over there because you did four maisa cheres.
You'd have to lean for all four.
Okay, let's think about it. A slightly different approach, I think, than we've done in the past. But I think I'm sticking with Tosis's, what he's pointing out. That's what I'm trying to do.